Let's prove convergence. This is somehow a paradigmatic proof of convergence, because many proofs of convergence in optimization, also in constraint optimization, follow this line. Okay? So this is the reason why I'm showing you, and not to bother you with a mathematical proof. Okay, the direction is minus the gradient. Let's rewrite. So here, in the original condition, we have this quantity here. And let's rewrite this in another way. We bring this on the right-hand side, and we bring this on the left-hand side. Okay? And what comes out is the following. Is that C1, Ck, the norm, square of the gradient of f at xk is less or equal than f at xk minus f at xk plus 1. Okay? And furthermore, this quantity here now is positive. So, the Fermi-Hogg condition tells that this is true at every iteration. By the Fermi-Hogg condition, we also know that we are performing a descent method. Okay? F at xk plus 1 is smaller than f at xk. This means that this sequence, the sequence of the values f at xk, is a decreasing sequence. Okay? Decreasing sequence of numbers. Moreover, f is bounded by below, it means that also this sequence is bounded by below. There's a basic result for sequences, calculus, your very first year. If you have a decreasing sequence, which is bounded by below, the sequence has a limit. Okay? So if you have a sequence of values decreasing, and it's bounded by, these values are bounded by below, then the sequence has a limit. Okay. If you are interested to refresh the results, look at your old textbooks from calculus. But this is interesting for us. It means that this sequence is going to some value. Okay. I'm not interested in the value. I'm interested in the fact that this sequence is going to some value. And this sequence here is going exactly to the same value. Okay? Because they are the same sequence. You are just rewriting the index. So their difference is going to what? Since they are going to the same value, their difference is going to zero. So this is going to zero. Okay. So here I am. Something which is greater or equal than zero, which is less or equal than something that goes to zero. Okay? As a consequence, this term has to go to zero as well. C1 cannot be going to zero, because it's a number, a fixed positive number. So, Tk times the square of the norm of f at xk is going to zero, as k goes to plus infinity. Now the question is, is Tk going to zero or the norm of the greatest of a set cases? Which one of the two is true? I mean, at least one of the two has to be, one of the two has to be true. Okay? Maybe both, but it is not possible that they are both false, because if they are both false, this cannot happen. Okay. This is the easy case. We have already seen this, because suppose that the norm of the gradient goes to zero. Okay? Now, take a cluster point. A cluster point is a limit of a subsequence. Okay? Of a sequence xkj. The gradient of f at xkj is going to zero, because we are considering this case. At the same time, as xkj is going to x bar and the gradient is a continuous function, this is also going to the norm of the gradient at x, at the cluster point. So, since the limit is unique, this has to be zero, and the unique vector whose norm is zero is the zero vector. Okay? So, this case is easy. I chose a green box for this reason. It's easy, okay? Green light. Difficult case. Tk is going to zero. I mean, here we have to prove that if Tk is going to zero, then these gradients have to go to zero, which in this case was easy to show here. I don't know how to do it, okay? I know how to do it, and I'm showing you now. Okay. Going to zero, we can suppose that that m is not zero. Okay? That m is at least one. Because for some iteration, tk could be equal to t bar. But then if it is going to zero, m has to be greater than zero. Actually, m has to go to plus infinity. Okay? Because tk can go to zero if and only if n goes to plus infinity. So we can suppose that n is greater than one. So that in the Hermitian rule we make at least one step. And the basic idea, I can show this, is exactly this. If I make at least one step, at the previous step, our Hermitian condition is not satisfied. Okay? I'm doing it now for the subsequence which is converging to the cluster point. Okay? So, we consider the subsequence converging to the cluster point. This is going to zero. And what I can tell you is that Tkj times gamma to the minus 1, okay, does not satisfy their initial condition. Why? Because we choose the smallest n. Okay? N minus 1 does not satisfy the initial condition. Okay? So when I'm multiplying by minus 1 here, I'm essentially saying p bar gamma to the m minus 1. Okay? And this is the key point of the proof, because it's telling you the initial condition is not satisfied, then here you have greater. Okay? So, f at xk plus 1, xkj plus 1, which is actually xkj minus p kj times the gradient of f at xkj. Okay. This is xkj plus 1 is greater than f at xkj minus, no, sorry, I'm saying this is not satisfying here, so here I have gamma minus 1 as well. Okay? Because TKJ satisfies, the previous does not. And here you have, yes, minus the point, the step size not satisfying the initial condition, times C1, the norm square of the f at the point. So, I repeat. By the initial rule, this step size here does not satisfy the initial condition. Okay? Because this is t bar gamma to m minus 1. And m minus 1 does not satisfy the initial condition. So I write this, not, this is not satisfied, means here you have greater. Okay? So here I'm exactly writing again the Armico condition. What I did here is rather than say the writing xkj plus 1, I wrote its formula through this update, and the fact that here we are considering a smaller step size, the previous step size. Okay? Now, without writing this again, please allow me to move this to the left-hand side. So here we have the minus. And here we have greater here. Okay? I just moved this term to the previous. And here comes calculus. Okay? Now I need a result from calculus. The difference of f computed at a point and f computed at another point. Actually, this is a point and you are moving along minus the gradient of this step. What I'm going to use is not Taylor, I'm going to use the mean value theorem. Okay? The mean value theorem tells you I have a point x, I have a point x plus b, f computed at x plus b minus f at x is exactly equal to the scalar product of the gradient of f times but the gradient of f is not computed as x, but as x plus, let's say, tau times b for some suitable tau between 0 and 1. Okay? The mean value theorem says there exists some tau such that this formula is true. Okay? I want to use this, which we have seen in the first lectures, here. Okay? So, this is x, let's say, and this is b. So, by the mean value theorem, this quantity is equal to the gradient of f computed at the point, so xkj, plus tau b, and b is so minus tau kkj minus 1, the gradient. So I wrote b, and then I have to take the scalar product with b. V is minus this, so V is minus tkj gamma to the minus 1, the gradient of f at xkj. And tau is between 0 and 1. Now I can erase this, both from here and here. Okay? This is a positive term appearing in both sides. And now the proof is almost done. Because I can take the limit as j that goes to plus infinity in such a way that xkj goes to x bar. Okay? And tkj goes to 0. Okay? So I take the limit. Let's see what happens here. Okay. This goes to x bar, this is fixed, this is fixed, this goes to 0, and this goes to the gradient of f at x bar. Okay. So, since this is going to 0 and multiplies a constant plus something going to a value, all this goes to 0. Okay. So it means that this quantity here is going to minus the gradient of f at x bar. Time, and this is easy. This goes to, x bar, so all of this goes to the gradient of f at x bar. All this is greater when you take the limit. You can no longer guarantee strict inequality, but the inequality is preserved. And here, please you tell me, this goes to what? Yeah, to the square of the norm of the gradient of f at x bar. And this is what? Scalar product of the gradient with itself, it's the square of the norm. So this right hand side is, no, sorry, left hand side is minus the square of the norm of the gradient. There's something that strikes me wrong. I should not have this minus here. Yeah, come.
Thank you.
Oh, you can show the blackboard.
Oh, okay.
Come on. There's the minus. Okay. Thank you. So there's a minus there. Let's see if it's correct. Yes. Okay. So, thank you very much, Alan. Here, what happens is that if I write this again, it is 1 minus C1 times the square of the norm of the gradient is less or equal than 0. Okay? Now, C1 is between 0 and 1, so this is positive. It means this is less or equal than 0. But the unique non-negative number less or equal than 0 is 0. So this is 0. And we are done. Okay? So we proved the theorem. So we proved the theorem, okay? Do you have any questions? I have a couple of remarks. The first remark... Oh, sorry.
I don't understand why EJ gamma minus 1 was not such a big...
Okay, the short answer is by definition. Okay? Now I... will illustrate it to you. Okay? We applied the Armijo rule. Okay? The Armijo rule is based on this word here. M is the smallest value such that T bar gamma to the M satisfies the Armijo condition. It means that T bar gamma to M minus 1 does not satisfy the Armijo condition. Otherwise, M is not the smallest. Okay? And this is okay? And this is our EK. Clear enough? Okay. TK satisfies. If you multiply by gamma minus 1, does not satisfy because it amounts to this, and M is the smallest satisfying. This is the key point. This is the key point. Okay. If you just say, let's take some N such that this is satisfied, this proof cannot be developed. Okay? Because the point is exactly the question he asked. It does not satisfy the Armijo condition because we choose the smallest M. Okay? And in this, you can really decide to perform a method which exploits the Armijo condition without using the Armijo rule. Okay? And we'll come back to this later on today, at the end. My remarks are the following, which is, the first is a bit surprising. We can prove this very same result also for the exact line search. Okay? We can prove here, let's suppose, just change here algorithm. Rather than the algorithm with the Armijo rule, put here the algorithm with the exact line search. You can prove exactly the same result. Okay? And actually, the proof is exactly the same. You can perform exactly the same proof. You should tell me, but how is this possible? You told us that the step size of the exact line search does not necessarily satisfy the Armijo condition. So how can this be true? Okay. The fact is the following. Suppose that you choose the step size with the exact line search. Okay? You get a new point. This one. Okay? And a new value. Suppose you perform Armijo condition. Let's call this, let me say, this is the Armijo and this is the exact. Okay? By definition of exact, we know that this is true. Okay? Now, go at the very beginning of the proof, here, and if here you put the Armijo, this is less or equal than this, where you put the exact. Okay? Now, we stated that this quantity goes to zero. If we apply the exact line search, the same reasoning is telling you that this is going to zero. Okay? So, even if you apply the exact line search, this quantity goes to zero. And then the proof is exactly the same. Okay? But you don't exploit the xk plus 1 of the sum, you exploit the xk plus 1 of the unequal. Okay? In the proof. But the proof is true for the exact. Okay? So the very same proof gives you also that this result is true also for the exact line search. It was yesterday. I showed you that if performing the exact line search, if the sequence converges, then the limit point is a stationary point, any cluster point is a I told you the limit point, the unique limit point is a stationary point. And the proof was just one line, very easy. But this is a better result. Also for the exact line search, because it tells you, it does not need to, you don't need to suppose that the limit exists. Okay? Because yesterday I told you, if the limit exists, then the limit point is stationary. Okay? So, but clearly, I remembered yesterday proof by heart, a memoria. And this I need to have a look at it before telling it on the blackboard. So this is the first remark. Second remark, which you must trust me on. We do it with that. Okay? Otherwise we spend half an hour doing a proof. You can prove exactly the same result for almost any the same direction. Rather than taking minus the gradient, just take any direction which is at the same direction. Okay? My proof won't work because if I take any direction here, I don't have this quantity. I have not this, but I have this. Okay? And it is, and so I cannot apply exactly the same argument. The argument is a bit more complex. But I cannot choose actually any descent direction. I need to choose all the descent direction in such a way that the angle between the direction and the gradient is always greater than one half pi plus a small angle theta. And this theta bar does not depend on the iteration. Okay? All the angles I choose, all the directions I choose must form with the gradient an angle which is greater or equal, so this angle, theta k, which is the angle between the gradient and the direction, has to be greater or equal than 1 and a half pi plus some fixed theta bar. Okay? What cannot happen is that I choose directions which tend to be orthogonal to the gradient. If I avoid this situation, that as iteration go by, the direction tends to go orthogonal to the gradient, I can prove exactly the same result. Okay? With a proof which is a bit more complex than this. The basic idea is exactly the same. Okay? What the difference lies here, because you don't have this norm, but you have the scalar product of the gradient and the direction. So you have to make some reasoning about the angles. Okay? Indeed, minus the gradient falls as a particular case, because minus the gradient, here, dk minus the gradient, satisfies this condition, okay, satisfies this condition, taking exactly theta bar equals to be 1 half over 5. This angle is 5. Okay? So, you can make a more general proof than this, just asking this condition, and our case of minus the gradient and our proof is just a particular case. Okay? I'm not going to show you because I chose not to show you because it's a bit more boring. You have to do a bit more passages. Okay? But the idea is exactly the same. Please remind this. Okay, I'm not going to show you, but please keep this in mind. Okay? Keep this in mind because in my next lectures I will show you situations in which this is not guaranteed. Okay? And it's funny, this is not guaranteed, so this result do not hold. But you get an algorithm that in some situation works better. There's one last thing, so I can keep my promise to end the lecture earlier than usual, and it's, okay, the Armico rule is nice, but let's say that for some reason I have a magic box that tells me a step size satisfying the Armico condition, and it's not given by the Armico rules. Okay? I'm a magician. I have my bow, and I tell you the value. Okay? Is the convergence result still true? The answer is no. You need to ask for something more. Okay? Clearly, the proof doesn't work because here, as he helped us me to stress, you need exactly this, which is given by the fact that you use the smallest index given by the bisection procedure. Okay? You can prove that this same result, I mean that any cluster point is a stationary point, if you pair the Armico condition with an additional condition. So, let me erase the Armico rule and just keep the condition. The condition is the following. The scalar product of the gradient at the new point, let me write the new point in this way, otherwise you don't see dk, times dk has to be greater or equal than C2 times the scalar product of the gradient at xk with dk. M C2 has to be larger than C1 and smaller than 1. So, if you are wondering why I was calling this constant C1 and not C, now you have the answer, okay? Because if you don't apply the Armijo rule, you have to pair the Armijo condition with this type of condition. Let's analyze this condition a little bit, okay? This condition here is, this is the derivative of the search function at zero, but this is the derivative of the search function at tk. Okay. So, this condition indeed is known as curvature condition. And this reformulation in terms of the derivatives is the reason of the name. Okay? What is actually telling you? This is actually telling you that the derivative of the search function at the new point shouldn't be too close to the derivative at zero. Okay, take for instance this 1/2. Okay. This must be at least 1/2 the other derivative. Please remember that this derivative is negative. Okay. So being greater than 1/2, this means it is or it is positive or it is a smaller negative value. Okay. I mean, if this is, let me just do around zero. If this is the search function, and this is the derivative, I want to be the derivative at the new point be, let's say, meaningfully different from the derivative, at the previous point. So, for instance, if I can take this, it's likely that the two derivatives are very close. Okay? I want them to be at least different by this coefficient. Okay? And indeed, I've shown you that the Armijo condition is satisfied whenever t is small enough. Okay? This condition is asking you for the step to be not too small. Non deve essere troppo piccolo. Otherwise, you are not making enough. You are not moving enough. Okay? And indeed, there are a few things that you can prove. First thing you can prove is that there exists at least a step size which satisfies both of them. Okay. In my notes you find also the proof if you are interested or just curious. Okay. Actually, you can find that there exists an entire interval of points of values which satisfy both conditions. Okay. And the proof is made using calculus reasoning about the search function. You can prove the existence of an interval of points satisfying both conditions. And what can you prove if you apply the algorithm in which you satisfy the Armijo and the curvature condition is exactly the same kind of result. Okay? So, perform the inexact line search by this pair of conditions, then any cluster point of the sequence generated by the algorithm is stationary for us. This is true if you take minus the gradient as a direction, or if you take direction satisfying this angle condition. Okay? You find the proof on the lecture notes, if you're interested. It's not very different from this one. The main thing here is that rather than using the mean value theorem, you must use other arguments, okay? A different kind of reasoning, and it is a bit more longer. Okay? But you can prove this. The two condition paired are major plus curvature together are also called by this name, word condition. So, this is what I wanted to tell you about this gradient method. So, we have seen a few gradient methods with a few kind of choices for the step size. Okay? And also now I give you inputs that we could choose a direction which is different from minus the gradient. Okay? And the algorithms work as well if you choose them carefully. Next week, Professor Bevilacqua will show you how to use and refine gradient methods for solving linear systems. Okay, he will show you a method based on the gradient method to solve a linear system, and it will be called the conjugate gradient. And then I will come back to you and generalize his approach for a linear system to general optimization problems. So this is the our program for the next 2 weeks. Okay, so I almost kept my promise 10 minutes earlier.